Thanks for listening on Thursday, January 26, 2012, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, Thursday in the 3 o'clock hours. Always Pentagon salute. I'm getting my schedule messed up. It's because of Joe. Joe Brown of Accelera is here today to talk to me on Industry Chatter, and it's good to see you again, Joe. Thanks for coming in today. Yesterday, Wednesdays, is Pentagon Solutions. Today's Industry Chatter, and I'm glad you're here to talk to me today,
well,
Joe.
Well, thanks, Francis.
We always start with a thumbnail sketch of your company. Talk about what you do for the customers that you work with in government.
Sure. So Accelera Solutions is a IT services solutions provider to the federal government, as well as the commercial market as well. We focus in around virtualization technologies in order to deliver solutions such as data center consolidation efforts, desktop virtualization, migration to cloud computing. Things like that are really our focus areas. And we're a full-service provider in the sense that we not only provide products, we also implement, design, and support the solutions that we build for the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Virtualization is one of those words, almost like cloud computing, that's kind of a buzzword, and there's some folks that are talking about it, still learning about it. Virtualization's been around a little bit longer. What are the clients that you talk to in government asking you about when it comes to each of those items?
Yeah, that's a great question. Over the last couple of years, the question set that we receive from the customers has changed a little bit. It hasn't evolved as fast as I thought it would, to be honest with you. What we're seeing and what we're hearing today from our customers is, I did data center consolidation, or I virtualized my servers, really, is what they mean by that. And I'm trying to figure out how now to leverage my investment in this server virtualization and maybe some of the application virtualization that I've done in the past to help me figure out and leverage the cloud in a better way, right? So they're really kind of evolving the conversation from improving on-premise, type efficiencies to really, okay, how do I take that and now equate it to what I can do in the cloud? So there's a lot of that going on. There's still a lot of conversation around virtual desktop technology and how best to use that and leverage that in federal agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting these days.
Is any of the virtualization discussion revolving around mobile technology and the ability to see the same things on a mobile device that you can see at a desktop?
That's really driving a lot of conversation these days. I think if you sort of spun the clock back a year, everyone wanted to know how VDI could help them, right? And now it's spin it forward to 2012, and they're saying, how can VDI or application virtualization support my mobility requirements, right? That's really two things that people are really connecting together very tightly these days.
Mm-hmm. What is your answer usually when it comes to the ability to access the information and then keep it secure on a mobile device compared to a desktop?
Well, there's always data at rest challenges when you start talking about transporting data from the inside of the firewalls in an agency to another device.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk to customers about leveraging virtualization technology so that data doesn't actually end up on the endpoints, which gives them a better security posture anyway. And it limits the amount of concern or risk level they have by introducing mobile devices into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a new breed of technologies that are being introduced to the marketplace that are helping organizations manage endpoint devices that are mobile, be able to secure different storage locations on those mobile devices. An example is Good Technologies has been doing this for a little while. They've evolved their stuff. There's another company called Zenprise, which is also doing this. These technologies are really starting to be of interest to federal agencies.
Good is the company that I believe is working with DOD on their secure computing technology. The solution in security seems to be this the securing the data idea and the fact that none of the data resides on the mobile device. That was hard for agencies to wrap their arms around, it seems like. It seems like for a long time they were consumed with the idea that we have to secure the device. Are we finally starting to see that mentality, that worldview go away?
I think we are, in the sense that I think what drove that really was the introduction of the iPad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone wanted to be able to use the iPad for something. They didn't know what, but they thought, hey, this is a really great device. How do I use this?
Uh-huh.
And so people were really trying to wrap their heads around, you know, what that could do for their agency, what it could do for efficiencies, how could people better work from different locations. And that drove a lot of interest in other types of devices as well, and other platforms at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at the issue of device, maybe I'll invent a word here, agnosticity, the idea that any one particular device is, we're not going to put all of our eggs in one basket. How are agencies getting around that, or how do you think they should get around that to avoid being stuck with, say, a lot of time and energy invested in the BlackBerry playbook, which now is probably going to disappear?
Right. Well, that's exactly what we talk to agencies about when they look at a mobile platform. We tell them that think about building an infrastructure that you can build one time and use it in many different ways. And you can use it to support many different endpoint devices. Those endpoint devices could be a regular thick desktop. They could also be that mobile thin, you know, iOS platform device out there, really.
Mm-hmm.
So virtualization technology basically brings back in the computing aspects of an application into the data center, executes everything there, and then just sends visualization out to the endpoint device.
Mm-hmm.
And so the endpoint device is really, to a certain extent, totally irrelevant to how it works. The interesting thing, I think, about that approach is that then you can apply policies to these endpoint devices by leveraging these third-party technologies like Good, et cetera, to secure little partitions on those endpoint devices and thereby still keep them within a realm of security policies you're used to.
Yeah. We learned a little bit about that from the app experience, where it seems that agencies now understand we don't want to go too whole hog into one particular OS to develop an app, and maybe that gave people a little bit of an edge on trying to figure this out.
Yeah, I think so. I think initially when people bought iPads and said this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, everyone said, I've got to run out and get myself a mobile app developer.
Yes.
Well, the reality is you just like building a web application or something else that only runs in one browser.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make that cross-platform compatible.
Yeah.
And so that's not really the best approach to supporting mobile devices in the future. What we're starting to hear people talk about more and more is using virtualization for all of their existing applications, and then new application requirements, they're looking at technologies like HTML5 as a web-based application development technology to deliver new applications.
Yeah, the issue of eliminating segments of your audience because they don't have the device that you've decided to spend your first allocation of funds on developing for seems to be a problem, a place to be in a government environment. If you're a private sector company, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
And if you choose to not make your material available to a particular segment of the audience, that's your own problem. Government environment seems to be a little different to me.
I agree. And I think that's part of the main reason why folks are looking at how do I support legacy applications? And you could call legacy applications something that you just built today, right? Because as of today, it's one day old, it's legacy.
Yeah.
So you have to look at all of your current application set that way and be able to look at constituents that you need to service and say, hey, I need to be able to service these people no matter what platform they're on. So that platform agnostic endpoint approach is very important.
And you didn't create a whole new word for it like I did poorly, I might add. Joe Brown's president of Accelera Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
November 17, 2011, the future of air and missile defense changed forever. MEADS, the Medium Extended Air Defense System, demonstrated the first ever over-the-shoulder launch against a simulated target. It was an unprecedented breakthrough and proved that only MEADS, with its 360-degree coverage, can defend our warfighters against air and missile defense threats from any direction. MEADS has the advanced capabilities and reliability that the 40-year-old Patriot system can't provide, and will cost half as much to man and maintain versus upgrading Patriot. Meade's 360-degree coverage defends more area with fewer assets and has the lethality to defeat advanced threats. Defending more, costing less. Meade's. For more information, go to Meads-AMD.com. That's Meads-AMD.com.
Paid for by Lockheed Martin.
Whether it's warfighters on a mission, a payload that must reach orbit, or sensitive data on your network and in cyberspace, protection is absolutely critical. Fortunately, Kinetic North America is there to help you assure mission success. They partner with their customers to develop innovative technology solutions for the challenges of national defense, homeland security, and information access. Discover how they can help you protect what's important at kinetiq-na.com. When it's critical, it's Kinetic North America.
America's top show about planning for retirement is on 1500 AM WFED. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari. Each week, America's income planner, Coach Pete DeRuta, sits down with father-daughter duo from Northern Virginia, retirement planners Don and Jill O'Rourke from O'Rourke Asset Management. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari on 1500 AM WFED.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
The Office of Personnel Management is adding staff to tackle the backlog of retirement claims. Its new plan also includes automating its retirement technology system piece by piece, since a wholesale overhaul failed a few years ago. And it's going to work with agencies to improve the accuracy of retirement claims. OPM says it can eliminate the backlog within 18 months. About 50,000 retirees are waiting for the agency to process their benefits.
These are hard times for federal employees. A multi-year pay freeze, rumors of furloughs, and discussions on reducing benefits are the realities that all federal employees face. Now, more than ever, it's important to find ways to save your hard-earned money. One way is with life insurance from WEPA. WEPA offers lower rates and a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. To learn how much you can save, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. 2 weeks after the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau gets its first director, the new agency joins forces with the Federal Trade Commission. And we'll have details of the landmark 2013 defense budget request. It will show how far the administration is remaking the military. Those stories and more tomorrow morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
You're listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown is the president of Accelera Solutions. He's my guest on Industry Chatter this week, and you're now a two-time guest on the program, and I appreciate you coming back. Since you were here the last time, your company has made an acquisition. It's not uncommon in the federal space, especially in the past couple of years. Talk about the company that you acquired and the process that it happened, because it's not the typical M&A story, it doesn't sound like.
That's true. That's true, Francis. We early on in 2010, we identified a market segment that we were looking to get into. And it was driven by what we think are going to be some significant, I think, projects that will occur throughout the federal government. And that's really associated with Windows 7 migration, the addition of Link services by Microsoft, and 2010 Exchange migration services. Really, those are going to be big growth areas, we assumed, and as well as System Center from Microsoft. So identifying those segments of business that we really wanted to go after, we looked at a build versus buy strategy, to be honest with you. And we realized that our time to market for a build strategy was going to be too long. And so we initially reached out to try to find a strategic partner to help us get to market quicker. And in working with the ITS group, specifically the owner, Mitch Chen, we worked with him, worked great with him. His organization delivered every time on time with incredible results, and our customers loved them. And so, you know, Mitch just really kind of had this interesting, fantastic technical mind in his organization that he had built around him were also just you know, bright stars in the technical world. And so we, in talking with them and working with them, we figured out they were the perfect fit. And he was very interested in growing his organization and becoming, you know, a real federal presence. And so we've given him a great opportunity to learn a lot about the federal business, because they were specifically focused in the commercial space as well.
Mm-hmm.
And our organization now has a Microsoft business unit that helps us with some of our larger scale virtualization projects, and Windows 7 migration projects and things of that nature. And we've seen great success with them so far.
Now, we talked a little bit during the break that there are usually two schools of thought on M&A. One is you're buying revenue, and the other is you're buying capability. It sounds like this is a capability factor for you. What was it about the general field that this company dealt with that you thought was particularly complementary to what you're doing now?
Yeah, it's a good point. So we looked at virtualization solutions and the evolution of those solutions in our customer base, and particularly around server virtualization and how desktop virtualization was really going to explode across the enterprise at some point. And our customers started talking about management tools and management infrastructure and what they would do with the solutions once they were enterprise-wide. How do they handle them? And asking us questions like that. And a lot of those answers that we were coming up with were centered around Microsoft system center-based technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at that and said, you know, we need to be there. And if we're not there, we risk losing, you know, that business essentially to someone else who is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the capabilities that ITS Group brought to the table were very specific to that. And they added perfectly to our virtualization story. And ITS also had some great virtualization skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped to augment our services team as well, and really, you know, bolster the team, make it a lot stronger.
When you sit down with somebody that's in the same position that you are at a company that you're thinking about doing a partnership or a merger with, do you know right away that this is the right company or the right person, or is it an evolutionary process, or is it different every time?
Well, I think the answer is that it's different every time. I think you get a feeling from a person when you first meet them and you begin to go down the thought process yourself of, is this the right person to deal with? Is this the right organization to deal with? And really, it's very cliche to say this, but culturally, it's really very important to make sure that the leadership of the organization that's going to be joining yours matches very closely with what your culture is today.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be a grinding effect and not really very positive. And I personally have been through those types of acquisitions before, and they weren't very fun for me.
Right.
And so I don't want that to happen to anybody. So it's really important to know that you have the right organization.
Whenever I talk to somebody that's done a lot of M&As from the financing perspective, I always look at that person as kind of like the pastor in the marriage who's talked to both of the potential mates. And it seems like a lot of that part of it gets overlooked, and that's where those folks tell me that these go wrong, is that the people in your position look at them too much like a business proposition and not enough like a marriage, where you're incorporating cultures and lifestyle and all of these kinds of things in addition to the business aspects of it. Is that fair, do you think?
I think it is. Many times organizations have investment bankers that do their M&A work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily, maybe because they're doing large-scale M&A work and they need to do a lot of it in a given time.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it was me personally working on it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a much more, I think, there's a lot more feeling put into it than there is maybe dollars and cents, you know,
yeah.
Conversations. So the other thing is that Mitch was very much interested in talking about it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hit it off, and he's a very bright person, and he's been a great leader for ITS, and consequently he's become a great leader at Accelera Solutions, and we're just really happy about it.
Joe Brown is my guest. He's president of Accelera Solutions, and we'll continue our conversation in just a minute on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Ladies, I'm Jill Sorensen, Caps beat reporter from Comcast Sportsnet. Want to see hockey from a woman's perspective? Then visit scarletcaps.com to sign up for Club Scarlet for free. Members receive an exclusive newsletter, a chance to win great prizes, and invitations to members-only events, including hockey and heels. Check out scarletcaps.com for the latest blogs and info. To join, log on to scarletcaps.com now.
With the new year comes resolutions, when we resolve to stop snacking and slacking, resolve to start reading and running. This year, resolve to help someone else too. Resolve to support the American Red Cross, because the Red Cross provides hope, help, and compassion not only during disasters, but every day. Resolve to do something that means something. Support the American Red Cross before the new year. Visit redcross.org today.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity? Working on a cloud computing initiative? Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
Powered by the latest second-generation Intel Xeon processors, new HP ProLiant G7 servers are a perfect high-speed solution for lowering costs, improving utilization, and reducing server sprawl. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how together they can power your data center into the future. Talk to GovConnection's experienced federal sales team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Obese and HER2. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Women with a more aggressive form of breast cancer may have even larger problems if they are obese, but treatment can make a big difference. At the Mayo Clinic, Jennifer Crozier examined data on women with early HER2-positive breast cancer. Crozier says obese women's tumors were larger and had greater spread into parts of the circulatory system called the lymph nodes. She says the drug Herceptin was so powerful that it equalized disease-free survival of obese and healthy weight women. But she says
weight management is an important part of breast cancer treatment, and having a healthy lifestyle prior to a diagnosis is going to be important for all of our patients.
The study presented at a breast cancer symposium was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Human Capital Management for Defense is a highly anticipated training conference with over 300 delegates and key speakers, such as Lieutenant General Daryl D. Jones, Deputy Chief of Staff for Manpower, Personnel and Services, U.S. Air Force, Honorable Thomas R. Lamont, Assistant Secretary of the Army, Manpower and Reserve Affairs, and Honorable Juan M. Garcia, Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Manpower and Reserve Affairs. This year's event will be held on March 12th through the 15th at the Sheraton National Hotel in Arlington. For more info, visit hcmdusa.com. Mention code FNR for a 25% discount.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's industry chatter today in the 3 o'clock hour. Joe Brown is president of Accelera Solutions, my guest on the program. And you mentioned cloud, which comes up in just about every technological discussion that has anything to do with the government market now. And right behind that, then, is FedRAMP. And I'm wondering what you're thinking about what you've seen so far about FedRAMP and what you would like to see over the next, say, 2 or 3 months as we get to learn more about it.
I think what's most interesting to us and what we're really trying to figure out, if you will, is how it will be rolled out once the standard is done. Right? Mm-hmm. Once everybody says, okay, we agree on this, how's it going to be rolled out? And what we believe is going to happen, and I think what other people believe is going to happen, is that the major cloud vendors like Amazon and Terramark and these folks who have the biggest impact on the federal government, if you will be the first organizations that will be run through the wickets. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, will that be the best position to be in, or will it be the worst position? Who knows,
yeah.
Right? You can never tell with the new program if that's going to be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is that the FedRAMP team is going to want to work with these vendors as much as possible to make sure they get them through the process and certify them. And they're going to do a lot of hand-holding to make sure that everything is smooth as possible.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean when you're playing in a space with companies like some of the ones that you just mentioned?
Sure. Well, I think our strategy really is partially defined by these vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense that when I talk to federal CIOs about using the cloud, I don't necessarily say we're going to use Amazon or we're going to use our own cloud data center or I'm going to use Terramark for you. I let the customer's requirements and functionality drive the environment that they're going to need to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And so a good example of that is if an organization in the federal government has a FISMA high requirement, right? I need to then consider that the platform as a service that I'm going to leverage to build their application set on is going to have a FISMA high certification.
Sure.
So that that for me requires me then to leverage organizations like Amazon and Terramark and other smaller platforms of service providers today.
Mm-hmm. The whole cloud thing is, we talked about buzzwords and virtualization is one, cloud computing is another one. Is the definition finally starting to settle enough in people's minds that they at least now even know what to ask? We talked about the questions that people ask, but are we beyond the education process where you were going in a year, two, 3 years ago and starting from scratch?
I think the basic terminology and concepts have solidified in people's minds,
mm-hmm.
which is a very good thing.
Yeah.
Now it's a matter of helping folks understand exactly how they can use those concepts to solve their business problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so what a lot of folks want to talk about is, okay, how can I use what I have already built in my environment and maybe expand it into a hybrid cloud type model,
mm-hmm.
so that I can leverage a little piece of the public cloud, not get too risky and just dip my toe in the water,
mm-hmm.
but still have a connection between my virtualization environment, my virtual data center, and the cloud so that I could very easily move my workloads back and forth, for example, if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So having an iterative approach to using the public cloud, that's what Accelera does and helps people do.
Back to FedRAMP for a minute. Are you confident with what we know about it so far that it's going to accomplish the goals that were set out for it originally?
I would like to be fully confident in it. But what I see happening, and I've seen this happen before, the build it and they will come approach is mm-hmm. always difficult to get people to accept. So what I think is going to happen is initially some organizations will leverage the FedRAMP program and they'll start to, if you will, go through the wickets of, okay, you know, you meet all these certifications. I think what will happen ultimately is that every agency will come up with a specific set of requirements that are outside of the standards that FedRAMP is providing.
That's never happened in government before, has it?
It's an ongoing theme, and I hope that we can all get to one set, but I really understand, you know, that people have different requirements, mm-hmm. and we can't really try to put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
And we're going to work with customers the best we can to help them get there.
What will that mean for companies that like yours that are, I mean, it seems like, as I kind of alluded to with the joke, it's a broken record. We're doing this again. What does that mean for a company like yours that may potentially then have to develop a number of different approaches to this or an individual one for every single agency?
I think we'll still get the ability to leverage some of the basic components that the cloud will provide
mm-hmm.
in a standard way, which will improve efficiencies dramatically. So there will be some standard set of security policies that we can apply for almost everybody. And so that will get us further along than we have ever been able to get in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be a common thing that will go transcend all the agencies. There will only be some minor, you know, we'll call them tweaks, if you will, that each one of the agencies will want to do to their environment to support some type of a different rule set or whatever. I think that's a very positive thing. In the end, everybody is unique. Every agency is unique, and they will all make sure you know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they never let you forget that,
no,
right?
And that's okay, right? That's we're excited to work with folks who have unique functionality and unique ideas that they want to leverage the cloud for. And mm-hmm. so that's what we're here for.
The whole concept of that, though, is kind of counter to exactly what Stephen Van Roekel's been talking about, not just when it comes to the cloud, but in everything, is build once and use as many times. So it seems like there's kind of a disconnect already as we're just getting FedRAMP off the launching pad.
I think to a certain extent there's a little bit of a disconnect. I think the idealistic nature of build once and use many times is the place we all want to be.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we're going to build once and then we're going to modify it just a little bit to fit people and their agencies and their specific requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going through the whole build process every time, right? So I kind of like to look at it as we're going to get 80% of the requirements taken care of out of the chute, which ultimately should save the federal government a lot of money by being able to say, well, 80% of the work's done.
Right.
Now we only have to do 20% going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we can focus in on that, we can really help agencies understand that FedRAMP is a really great program for them. And they'll gain a lot of efficiencies out of it. And ultimately, that little 20% of the work that needs to be done, you know, it's really not going to be a huge impact on them. And I think they'll be able to remain a little bit unique, but also adhere to the primary standards that are set forth.
If you had a chance to ask one question about FedRAMP, something you're not sure about or something you want to know if it was considered or whatever, what do you think that would be?
I think I would want to understand what the vision of the ecosystem of the players in the market are going to look like in the cloud for mm-hmm. for Stephen. You know, what does he envision, and what are the folks at GSA, what do they envision the ecosystem looking like, right? What type of organizations do they want to be part of the program?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that will really be a telltale sort of illustration, if you will, of how they will roll out the program. What vendors will be first, who will be second,
mm-hmm.
and who will have maybe a little easier time or more difficult time getting through the initial validation process.
I had a chat about 3 weeks ago with a former federal CIO, and this person said to me, I have a prediction. And this person's prediction was that we would get 18 to 24 months out from essentially now, and we would have seen at that point some email migration, some other pretty basic migration type things, office application stuff, that kind of deal, and then a plateau where not much else happens after that. And this person's reason for that was federal agencies are so risk averse that they just aren't quite ready to take the chance. Is that fair, do you think, or are vendors like you doing better than that at helping agencies understand that they can afford to be it's not even really fair to call it taking a chance anymore, I guess.
I think the maturity of the marketplace in and around virtualization technology is going to help people move more enterprise-type applications quicker to the cloud than what this gentleman's opinion is, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people are progressive enough to think about leveraging the cloud to solve a lot more problems than what people give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are some agencies we're working with right now that are beginning to develop multinational solutions. So, for example, we're leveraging the Amazon Web Cloud, Amazon Web Services, to distribute federal infrastructure as a service out into various countries where this agency has offices in support of regionalized deployments in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really believe that there's a lot more progress being made behind the scenes that's not that visible. And being a nucleus for this type of a conversation, we tend to see it a lot more rapidly and a lot more activity than most people would see.
Obviously, you're doing a lot of business with agencies on a lot of different levels. I want to talk about how that business works process-wise when we come back a little bit on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown is president of Accelera Solutions. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute.
Meeting mission goals through IT modernization, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
Officials at the Defense Information Systems Agency say they're seeing not just cost benefits from their new cloud-based enterprise email system, it's proving to be more defensible against cyber threats as well. DISA says having visibility across the entire email infrastructure it built for the U.S. Army is allowing it to quickly find and stop malware attacks that previously would have made their way through email systems unnoticed. The Army's moved about 30% of its users to the new system so far.
General Dynamics IT delivers the full strength of enterprise IT to drive innovation like infrastructure consolidation and modernization, cross-domain information sharing, cloud computing, Web 2.0, and a constant flow of new applications and IT services. General Dynamics IT helps government, military, and commercial organizations achieve new levels of productivity and mission effectiveness. General Dynamics IT brings together the expertise, technology, and best practices to deliver secure enterprise IT solutions. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Already this year, six federal agencies have offered buyouts or early retirements. Is your agency one of them? Check out federalnewsradio.com's buyout guide to see how slimmer budgets and changing priorities may be affecting you. Our buyout guide brings you the most up-to-date information on which agencies are offering buyouts, how many are offered, and who is eligible. Check it today and keep checking back for more information. Find it at federalnewsradio.com, search term buyouts.
Newsmakers on Your Turn with Mike Causey, Wednesday mornings at 10.
Colleen Kelly, she is president of the National Treasury Employees Union.
As far as the current reorganization that they're talking about, which is Commerce, we represent employees at the Patent and Trademark Office, but we really don't have any specific information yet about how it would impact, you know, the employees within the specific agencies. So I think we have more questions right now than anything else.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/yourturn.
Profile America, Thursday, January 26th. The longest-running show in Broadway history opened on this date in 1988, The Phantom of the Opera. Adapted by Andrew Lloyd Webber from the classic French novel by Gaston Leroux, the musical tells the story of the tortured soul who haunts the Paris Opera House and his love for one of its young singers. A runaway success, The Phantom of the Opera is in production at many places around the world on a continual basis. In 2006, it became the longest-running show in Broadway history with 8,000 performances. Recently, new shows opening on Broadway have ranged from 33 to 43 per year. These shows draw more than 12 million people annually to theaters along the Great White Way. Profile America is in its 15th year as a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown is president of Accelera Solutions. He's my guest on Industry Chatter today. We've talked about a lot of technology stuff so far on the program. Joe, I want to ask you what you're seeing as far as the differences in actually doing the business, the process of doing the business with the agencies. I was looking at some of the material on your website and seeing that you're doing a deal on 8A Stars 2. You're on all of the various contracts and so on, schedules and everything. Is it getting harder or easier, do you think, either because of the technology that you are offering to customers or because of policies and contracts and so on, harder or easier to do business with the government?
I think from our perspective, it's gotten a little bit easier over the years. And I think a little bit of that is maturity of our organization.
Mm-hmm.
We're 10 years old now. We've been in this virtualization space for a long time. However, I think that the cutting-edge technologies and solutions that we're bringing to the government are so interesting to them, and they're part of their enterprise plans for the very near future. And so a lot of these agencies have come directly to us and established single award BPAs, IDIQs, things of that nature, so that they can very quickly and easily execute on cloud strategy, virtual desktop strategy, things like that, and quite honestly get a much more efficient procurement process established so that they can take advantage of time to market.
Are there too many ways out there right now for a company like yours to try to reach the customer or the potential customer that it's just a real chore to try to be on all of them?
it is definitely a big chore to be on all of them. I mean, we have staff dedicated to helping us capture new contracts, just like every other systems integrator does these days, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, has always had, most of these systems integrators. We haven't had, historically, a huge focus on capturing contract vehicles. We've had to refocus on that and apply a lot of new resources just to get that done. It's paying off for us. We really like 8A Stars. It's done a great job for us. Easy contract vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I think what has been most successful for us, for example, is when we work with the EPA, we have a direct IDIQ with them that is a single award that was made this last year. And it's all around virtualization technologies to help them with desktop virtualization, server virtualization, and cloud for the future. So mm-hmm. they can very easily just write us a task order off this contract and get to us quickly.
If somebody asks you, how would you like us to set this up so that it works well for you and then by the same measure works well for us at the agency, how would you do it? Would it be that EPA model?
I think that's the best model for us. We can give the customer the most competitive pricing.
Mm-hmm.
We can give them a wide variety of technologies that they can pick from, and we can give them competitive pricing on those technologies. And, you know, quite honestly, they can shop those. It's an open award kind of thing, right? So we want to compete with other people for those so that the customer feels like they're getting the best value.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's the easiest way for us to do business. It ensures that we can then help them in a less competitive type model. We can do a lot of things for them to help them promote the technologies and solutions that we develop for them.
I'm thinking about that conversation that would go on in that environment where you and the folks at the agency and the acquisition shop would be talking back and forth freely, and I'm thinking that conversation probably still doesn't happen very often. And Dan Gordon tried to alleviate that a little bit with Mythbusters. Have you been seeing any residual effects of Mythbusters where it's easier for you to share information both directions with the agencies because of some of the things that he's done?
I definitely think that contracting officers are more open to conversations that are associated with giving a better value to the government mm-hmm. these days. And they're including their customer being, you know, their federal customer in those conversations a lot more, and it's really helpful. It really is. It makes the customer experience on the federal side a whole lot better when we can all sit down and have a open conversation about what the customer wants and how they want it delivered mm-hmm. and how they want to procure it.
Yeah, and it's encouraging to hear you say that the end users are in that conversation a lot more, because I can't tell you how many vendors I've had sitting in the chair that you're sitting in saying, if the end users are involved, we do a lot better for them than we do if we're just dealing with the procurement people.
I agree with that 100%. I don't think you can. I understand the concept of taking a requirement and giving it to a third party to make the procurement so that there's no potential, you know, legal issues there.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is how you can take a very sort of unique requirement that maybe a third party wouldn't understand and generally sort of throw it out to the marketplace for response.
Yeah.
That's not the best method for making procurements and getting the customer the best value for their dollar.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I can't tell you how many times I've talked to folks inside the agencies and they say, yeah, and when we got it, we got the demo and we said, well, does it do this? And everybody just went, oh.
That's exactly what we heard, too.
Yeah. Joe Brown's my guest on Industry Chatter today. He's president of Accelera Solutions, and we'll wrap up our conversation today in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
Prosecutors called it one of the biggest fraud cases ever. Court papers show Michael Alexander is going to plead guilty to bribery and conspiracy to launder money. He and three other men, including another Army Corps of Engineers employee, were indicted in October on charges of participating in a bribery and kickback scheme in the awarding of $20 million in government contracts. The other men have not pleaded guilty. I'm J.J. Green.
We
have a capsized boat, 2 people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Moving your enterprise to the cloud doesn't mean you have to let go of IT control. With BMC's proven cloud lifecycle management from IronBow, you can visualize and manage data and applications in public, private, or hybrid clouds through a single pane of glass. It gives you the control you need to deliver peak performance for users. Find out more about BMC Cloud Lifecycle Management and the BMC Public Sector Forum at IronBow.com. Keep your IT in view and under control in the cloud.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Join Jim Fleisig on Thursday, February 2nd at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. The program will focus on critical issues facing government and industry leaders in securing cyberspace. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, U.S. Cyber Command, and OSD. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Thursday, February 2nd at 12 noon, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by Lockheed Martin and McAfee.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose, and having industry chatter today with Joe Brown. He's the president of Accelera Solutions. We're almost out of time. Really enjoyed having you back on the show.
Thanks,
today,
Francis.
Joe. I appreciate you coming in. As you look at what you're seeing on the horizon, maybe a couple of years out, budgets getting tighter, obviously, what do you think somebody on the other side of the table from you in the procurement shops and in the technology shops at the agencies should be thinking about from a visionary perspective that they don't really have a lot of time to do because they're managing the day-to-day type and month-to-month type grind?
I think that what they need to be thinking about is a little different than what they are thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to encourage someone to have a thought process or spawn a thought process, it would be to look at how they can change the way that they're computing today, in the sense that they've been doing this desktop distributed computing model for a long time, and they need to think about how they can change that model, because in the absence of changing the model, they're not going to change the economics that their organization is adhering to. So what they're thinking about, I think, is putting out fires on a daily basis. Like you said, they don't have the time to think about these things. I do believe that there's a lot of industry education that's going on, and a whole lot of folks that are really very focused on making sure that agencies are aware of their opportunities and options out there. I don't know how much of it is being actually executed on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm encouraged, I have to say, by some of the progress we've seen over the last year or so. A lot of organizations that were piloting enterprise desktop virtualization have now decided to take it past a pilot into a big department or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very encouraging. I'm also encouraged to see folks reaching out and touching the cloud to see if they can use it and how they can use it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're seeing some really very innovative technologies that are being applied out there. And it's encouraging.
We'll wrap up on innovation. Agency people tell me all the time we're looking for innovation from vendors. Are they doing better than just saying, show me something innovative? Are they able to be a little bit more specific and give you more tangible requests or more detailed information about what they want?
I think I would flip that back around and say, from a systems integration standpoint, as Accelera looks at our customers, how can we help them understand what an innovative technology will do to solve a problem they have, right?
Okay.
So as we do that, as we analyze these issues they have, we need to really be thinking about how we can apply innovative technologies to those issues. I think it's, like we said, it's a little difficult to be sitting in the driver's seat and say, I can think about innovation. Mm-hmm. That's a luxury most people just don't have.
Yeah. It's been great to have you here today. I really appreciate your time. Joe Brown is president of Accelera Solutions, and you can find out more about his company and hear this conversation posted later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.